still believe that God wants us to be in this book. I believe it's relevant for the time we're in, the times we're in, what we're facing, what people are facing in their lives. I believe the Lord's getting ready to come back. Amen. Isn't it amazing that we're studying a book, that was the last book written for 400 years, and in the same year that we celebrate the year that the King James Bible has been written for 400 years, on May 2nd this year, it was published for the first time in 1611. May 2nd, 1611, our old King James Bible we carry with us was published. Man, May 2nd gets around here, we ought to have a howdy-doody time. Amen. Amen. I don't know when that day falls, but we may just have to have a special service. Wouldn't that be something, just to have an old-fashioned thank God for his book service? Amen.
Yes,
I may just pray about that. Y'all pray about that. Amen. Maybe just get a bunch of folks in and say, let's just celebrate that that God has preserved his word for somebody like me to be able to read it. Isn't that something?
Yes, sir. Ooh.
I don't know if I'd be able to do anything but cry. Amen. I love this book. Amen. I could kiss it, lay my head on my pillow and know that I got God's word until he comes.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen. I love it at night. Let's all stand tonight. Malachi chapter number 3. Appreciate the testimonies, the singing. Appreciate the submission. Appreciate those who got saved this morning.
Yes,
appreciate
Amen.
The church being submissive and quiet when it needs to be and spoken when it needs to be. It's important to learn the unction of the Holy Spirit and the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Don't ever get ahead of God. Don't think you got to make something happen. Just let God take care of things.
Yes, sir.
And I'm excited about that. Amen. I'm glad God invested in our church this morning. Amen, amen. Look at verse number 13. Strong words here. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken so much against thee? You have said it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Verse number 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. I'm going to go to Lord in prayer tonight. Ask the Lord to help us in the reading and the preaching of the message. Give us that we need tonight. Brother Freeman, if you will, lead us in prayer, and please pray for me. Amen.
I pray for my pastor. God, you breathe on him tonight in the Spirit of God. In a mighty and special way. God, you guide every word that he speaks. We'll listen to every word he preaches. I pray, God, and I thank you for the service this morning. The soul that saved this morning. God, should have watched over them, take care of them. And I pray tonight for those that's turned it back on you. And those that are lost. God, you give them one more chance before it's ever lasting too late. Before you come back, you give them one more chance. You speak to their hearts tonight. I thank you for your love and your mercy and your kindness. I thank you for your saving grace. And I want to bow my unworthy head that you be all praised tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. God's final words for 400 years. This is our seventh message on this book. And begin to look at this. There's a lot of ways people have broke this chapter down different ways. I'm just trying to be obedient the way the Lord wants me to go through it. And so try to follow it that way. Y'all pray for me. Doesn't matter where you cut it at. It's all good. Amen. It's all good. I heard Brother Larry Wells preached on the book of, I'm not deep, Brother Larry Wells preached a year and a half out of the book of Malachi, one verse at a time, one message at a time. Can you imagine? And so, you know, he did it that way. That's the way the Lord leads him. This is the way the Lord's leading me. And I'll try to be obedient that way. The Bible says here that they're dealing really with two groups of folks in this passage. Those that spoke well of God and those that spoke wrong of God. Amen. And I tell you what happens today if people get caught up in things and say things wrong against God. Amen? And they do things wrong and think things wrong. And a lot of times what happens in a lot of folks' life, they have something happen in their life, and what they'll do is they'll get bitter against God, against something that's going on in their life. And they'll begin to think the wrong way about God. Amen. You know, everybody, nobody has problems with thinking the right. I mean, if you're saved, nobody has problems about thinking the right way with God when everything's good. But it's when they go through the valleys that a lot of times the devil will try to get our hearts and minds on different things. Amen. You agree with me on that? Amen. And if you're not careful, we'll not question why God is doing something, but we'll begin to question the motives of God. And that is a sin. To question the motives of God. God always does well. Amen. Amen. And so I want to give you that thought tonight to start with. I want to preach tonight on this thought. On vanity or victory is all in the view. Vanity or victory is all in the view. It's how some people say it's all how you look at it. Amen. And there are two groups in this passage tonight, verse 13 through verse 16. Some look at it right and some look at it wrong. And what's the amazing thing, I was going to tell you about the men back there. They were studying and talking about things. And we were talking about commentaries and commentators. And I told them tonight, I said, well, I do believe, and I use commentaries. I have a library full of commentaries. And I do use them. I read them and see what men had to say. But you have to study that yourself. And the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. And it always will be that. I thank God for Brother Eugene Goodman for giving me that. And teaching me that when I sit under him, and he helped me as a young preacher to get in the book and don't let everybody just tell you what it says. Read the book, amen. Find out what it says. It's been the greatest advice as a preacher that I ever received. And so I want to encourage you that way. If you have your Bible, I want you to hold it in two places. Now you have a ribbon or you have your Bible open. I want you to turn to Psalms 73. As I began to study on this, I realized that God had made a song up. Now listen. I want to tell you how common this problem is. It is so common that God allowed it to be spoken as one of his last words for 400 years. And also, this same problem was given to us in a song. That's what the Psalms are. And in Psalm 73, it is dealing with how we look at things. Amen? And so I will tonight, without a doubt, be referring back and forth between these two, between Malachi verse 13 through 16 and Psalm 73. To me, they are perfectly hand in hand, right down in there. I don't think I can go wrong using the Word of God, do you? Amen. So look at it with me, verse number 13. The Bible says, "Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee?" Now, I want to preach on the first view tonight. The first view is the sin-blinded view. It's the sin-blinded view. It's having blinders where you can't see anything but what you're wanting to look at. Amen? Amen. Now, the sin-blinded view will get you in trouble. Amen? When you begin to only look at things as a carnal man can look at things. And we as Christians, if we're not careful, we'll put the blinders on in our life and think that the only thing's going on is what's going on in our life, and we'll begin to view life in a very negative state. Amen? Now, look at it with me. He says several things in the sin-blinded view. He says in verse number 13, he talks about the abundance of vulgarity. The Bible says, and look what he says, "Your words." Got an S on the end of that. It's not somebody that had a bad thought. It's not somebody that let something slip out or anything like that. But it literally means that they had begin to have a conversation about God. They begin to talk about God a certain way. They begin to respond to God a certain way and begin to act a certain way towards God. And so the abundance of their vulgarity begins to come out. We see the vulgarity of the blinded view. Not only is there vulgarity in abundance, but notice the arrangement of vulgarity. The word "words" here is a very unusual word. It means, the word is dawbar. It's pronounced like D-A-W-B-A-R. That's not the way it's spelled, but it's pronounced dawbar. And the word dawbar, it means to arrange a matter. In other words, if I'm going to have a conversation with you, I will arrange my thoughts, I will arrange the words in order to have those words with you. But it also has the meaning of arranging our life about, arranging the things we do about. And so the Bible says your words, your arrangement of your vulgarity. And people begin to, when they get the wrong view and they get that sign view, they begin to have a different arrangement about how they want to view and how they want to go and the directions they want to do and the ways they make for sin to go. In other words, they make a place for the devil. Amen. Don't make a place for the devil. He don't set a chair out, he won't sit down. Amen. And folks begin, listen, when I begin to see, as a pastor, I begin to see people making a place for the devil, I know they're in problem. Amen. Because you invite him to the table, he'll take the house home.
There you go. Amen.
Amen. And so we see, he says, your words are abundance of a vulgarity and the arrangement of vulgarity and then the arrogance of the vulgarity. Notice what he says. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. You have said some strong things against me, God said. You've said some stout things. And I'm glad that God doesn't just say that. He didn't just say you've said some stout things against me. But he said, "You've listen what he says. He says, your words have been stout against me, saith the, notice your Bible, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That's Almighty God. Amen. And he says this, you've been arrogant. You've been arrogant in your words.
Amen.
You've spoke like you are in authority to say something against me. And that's what folks will do, something bad come to life. And I don't understand why God let this happen to me. I don't understand how loving, I've heard people say, I don't understand how loving God could do this. Let me tell you something, you don't have any right to question God.
Amen.
And you're not the one in authority here.
Right.
I'm not the one in authority here. He is God Almighty. Now you know, you can ask him why, but never question his motives.
Right.
Amen. Amen. And so he says, they've been stout against me, saith the Lord. And so we see the arrogance of the vulgarity of the blind of view. And then we see the admittance of vulgarity in the blind of views. You know, if you speak long enough about things, sooner or later to come out in your conversation. If you say little bad words you shouldn't say everywhere else, you'll eventually say it in church.
Amen.
Amen. You'll say it around somebody you didn't mean to let it say. It'll just slip out. Amen. It'll get you in trouble. It'll become part of your psyche. It'll become a part of your thinking. And for you know it, you've done said something you ought not say.
Amen.
Are you listening?
Amen.
Now watch this. Listen to what it says. What have we spoken? Now don't stop there. What have we spoken so much against thee? See, they're not questioning that they've said anything. They just don't believe they've said things that bad.
Yeah, right.
They got just their little gray lies.
Amen.
They got just their little gray sins. They got just their little gray thoughts. And so we might have said something against you, but what is it that we've said so much against thee? Amen. And listen, sooner or later, whether you like it or not, you get the blinders of sin blinded view, and whether you like it or not, sooner or later you admit that you've been vulgar in your conversation. Amen. And I love the word conversation in the Bible. The word says in your conversation, and the word conversation in the Bible don't mean just your talk; it means your walk.
Amen.
Amen. It means your whole being of what you do and say and act and go and everything.
Yeah.
And so the sin-blinded view is a vulgarious, it is a very vulgar way of viewing things. And then number two is the vanity of the sin-blinded view. Look at it with me in verse 14. Ye have said, it is vain to serve God, and what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts. Now they said, I'll tell you one thing, this living for the Lord is about more than I can take. It's just not no profit to it. And we've kept all his ordinance. I doubt they kept all his ordinance. And we have walked mournfully. We've been, we're just not like the world. They're just a party in time. And we're just the same. I'll tell you one thing. It's killing me that Christians act like it's a burden to come to the house of God. Hey, do you remember the day that God reached down and saved you? That's not so bad. That's not so bad being saved. Amen. That's not so bad being saved. Amen. That's exciting being saved. Amen. It's exciting to get in the dressing room of life and get ready for heaven to meet God. Hey, we ought to be excited about the house of God. Amen. Y'all see what I'm saying? Boy, some of us act like it kills us to do something for the Lord. Amen. He gave us everything. He gave up everything that we might have life.
Amen.
And might have it more abundantly. Amen. Walk in with a pep on your step. You say, I ain't got no pep in your step. Get on your knees till you get a pep on your step. Amen. You can do it. Amen. Oh, I just had to go to church. Psalm 73, turn your Bible over there. It's so bad, it's such a habitual thing. God, let a song be wrote about it. a song something you sing on a regular basis. You know why you sing something on a regular basis? So you'll remember it. Amen. So you'll remember it. God said, it's so bad, I want you to write this song down.
Amen.
Now this is the song of Asaph. And Asaph means, it's a person's name. But the meaning of the name is the gathering. The gathering. You're going to gather together. This is what you need to gather together. Amen. He wants everybody to know. So when they got ready together, they sung this song. Now this is how common this is. This is how common this is. We get a little pity party going on, and we start looking at the world. Say amen right there. Say amen right there. Look at it with me now. Look at verse 73, verse 1. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. Period. He knows that. Man, look at verse number 2. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. Verse 3, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. He said, I began to look around and I saw that they were prosperous and my feet were almost slipped. Now notice what it says in verse 4. Notice when he begins to talk about the blessings of the worldly crowd. Those vanity of the blind, sin-blinded view. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men. Neither are they plagued like other men. He just seemed like they go skipping through life. And they ain't no problems. And they ain't no problems. And they just blessed. And they ain't got no struggles. And everything just goes their way. What a blessing it is to be lost. Notice the behavior that he says. Verse 6. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covered them with as a garment. He says that they just seem like they just act any old way, do anything, and they get away with it. And I don't understand. He said, I wish I could do something. Hey, you know what you do when you start acting like that? What you're saying is, I wish I could go back and do some of the old stuff I used to do. Hey, man, that's what you're really saying. Hey, man, you say, I'd like to go back and live the old life. It just seems like everything they got is going on just fine. I wish I could be like them. Y'all got your Bibles open? Look at verse 7. He talks about their benefits. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. More than heart could wish, man. Look at verse number 12. Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Look at their benefits. Man, they have everything the heart can desire. And they just increase the world and they got so much. You ever felt like that before? Come on, church. Hey, it's so, you might as well nod your head. So it's so common God wrote a song about it.
Right.
Look at verse number 8. Look at their blasphemies, how they talk. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. Verse 9, they set their mouth against the heavens and their tongue walketh through the earth. Look at verse 11. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Hey, you know what he says here? You know what that sin-blinded view does? It not only does it have the vulgarity of that sin-blinded view, but we have the vanity of the sin-blinded view that says, man, I'll tell you one thing, living this Christian life ain't worth it. It ain't worth it. It's too hard. It ain't fun like the world's having. I'll be very clear here tonight. Sin is fun for a season.
Amen.
But seasons change. Amen. Seasons change. Things are going to change. Sin won't be fun no more after a while.
Amen.
The vanity of the blinded view is begin to question why you live the Christian life. Sin-blinded view makes void things too. Look at verse number 15 of Malachi chapter 3. And keep your Bible open there. Psalm 73. Keep your finger there. Look what it says. Verse 15. And now we call the proud happy. We see they become void of the virtue of humility. We call the proud happy. Though we live in that day, man, I mean, if you can pop your suspenders and walk around and when you walk through, you knock somebody down with your broody self, boy, you're somebody. Boy, I tell you, special. If somebody's got a broken and tender heart and humility, everybody wants to walk over them. Say amen right there. Tell you one thing, I ain't got any use for a preacher that comes in with that attitude. I watch preachers. When I have preachers come to church, I watch preachers to see what kind of attitude they got. I do. I go to meetings sometimes. I watch them. I don't care if they're big preachers, or they ain't no big preachers, little people. But oh, big preacher or little preacher, that big preacher walks in and I see the attitude, brother. You don't have to worry about him coming here. I don't care how much everybody likes him. We don't need showboats.
Amen. Yes,
sir. We need some godly men that have humility in them. I don't mind them having the power of God on them. Just don't have power of flesh on them.
There you go.
Amen. I'll tell you that. I'll tell that to members too. We need to have the right spirit when we come to the house of God. Amen. Hey, we get to come to church. We don't have to.
Amen.
You don't believe that? Follow Brother Elijah down next time when he goes to the nurse home. Ask some of them if they'd like to come to church. Amen. Hey, look at it with me. The void of the blinded sin blinded view makes void the virtue of humility. The void of the sin blinded view makes void the virtue of hard work. Look at verse 15. Yea, that work wickedness are set up. Yea, that work wickedness are set up. Man, those that do wrong, they just seem like they got it made. Man, if you can cheat somebody, man, you got it made. If you can steal, you got it made. If you can gamble, you got it made. If you can play the lottery, hey, man. If you play the lottery, you got it made. Got it made. You know, that's wicked. Y'all know that, don't you? Oh, it's going to help our schools. I told them from the day they went on there, when they said, oh, it's going to help our schools, I went on the webpage and said, what's your plan? And they didn't have a plan. You know what? They still ain't got a plan. Last thing I checked is Charlotte getting ready to lay off a bunch of teachers, brother. Told me, how's that come? How come is that way since we got all this lottery working out for us? Y'all know where that fund is going. Y'all can put this on the radio, praise God. That don't bother me none. Crooks, crook. It don't matter what he dresses up like. Void of the virtue of hard work. Void of the virtue of holiness. Look at verse 15. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. They begin to say that. They're just delivered. They just get to do whatever. Well, turn your Bible over to Psalm 73 again. Psalm 73, verse number 13. Look at it with me. Verily, this is what he said. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. I've washed, I've cleaned up, I've tried to live right. It's just been no good. It ain't used to me try to dress right because everybody else don't dress right. They don't dress right and they get to keep doing things. You ever felt that way? Come on, church. You ever felt that way? You ladies ever felt that way? I tried to dress right and the other part of the family didn't dress right and they seem like they're all right. They just look at me funny.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Go ahead and preach it.
How you play ball in that dress? Pretty good. I like it. Verse 14, for all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. You want to hear one of the best examples of a poor testimony? Look at verse 15. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. If I stand up and speak, I just offend everybody. You ever felt that way before? I'm scared because I'm afraid I might make somebody mad. Are you hearing?
Amen. Go ahead, preach.
Amen. Number one, I'm preaching tonight on the sin blinded view. The sin blinded view brings vulgarity. The sin blinded view brings vanity, sees vanity and goodness. The sin blinded view makes void those things that really matter. But tonight I want to preach on the saints' blessed view. Look at with me in verse number 16. Malachi chapter 3, verse 16. Well, look at this verse. Look what it says. Then they that feared the Lord. Then they that feared the Lord. Number one, we see those that reverence God. What does reverence do? Number one, it lets you say this. Have your Bible, Psalm 73, verse number 16. I'm sorry for turning, but I'm not. I love this book. Amen. Notice what it says. Number one, ask, how could I have been so blind? I mean, the reverence view, a right view, asks ourselves when we begin to be tempted to look at the world and see what they got and begin to want what they got, act like they got, be like they got. Then we sit back and look back and say, how could I have been so blind? Look at it with me, verse number 16. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. It's more than I can understand. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I therein. He said, number one, how could I have been so blind? Well, number one, he had to get in the presence of God. Amen. When you get out of the presence of God, you begin to look at the world and think, man, I wish I had what they got. I wish I could run like they do. I wish I could do like that does. I wish I could act like that. But then you walk into the presence of God and you say, man, I'm glad I don't act like that. Right. Why do you do that for? Because you have the presence of God. When you get in the house of God, it helps you. When you get on your knees at home, it helps you. When you read God's Word, it helps you to get your view right. Amen. And so we see that we begin to think that way. Look at verse number 18 of Psalm 73. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. You set them in slippery places, God. What'd you do? You set them down there as a slick place. And they just out there, they just having a big time. They just having a big time. They just having a big time. Having the best time. And they do, but they don't understand. They sliding towards a pit.
Right, amen.
You don't have to fall down to be in slippery places. Sometimes you can stand, slide right off the top of a house.
Amen.
Ain't that, bruh? Everything be just fine. All of a sudden, wham-bam! And you never expect that. Hey, slippery places. You don't have to be laying down. You don't have to fall down before you slide off. You can just be standing there, just slide right off. You say, preacher, what gets me the right look? Well, number one, I get into the presence of God. And number two, I begin to understand the patience of God. Here's what I'm going to say tonight. Someone says, I got too much time on my hands. I get into trouble. No, I'll tell you what your problem is. You don't understand that God is patient. And He got more time you got. God's got time for you to slip. God's got time for you to slip. You don't have time for you to slip. But God has time for you to slip.
Amen.
And the wicked world, they can do what they want to, but don't realize, hey, Hollywood's slipping. They don't know they're slipping, but they're slipping. Amen. Hey, God's got patience. He's got time.
Oh, yeah.
And when you realize God's got more time you got, then all of a sudden you wander around, you look at yourself and say, how could I have been so blind? Thirdly, this is this. Look at verse number 18. Thou castest them down into a destruction. Verse 19, how are they brought into desolation? As in a moment they are utterly consumed with terrors. Verse 20, as a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. What gets me to the point of where if I look at the world and all of a sudden I get around and I say, wait a minute, how could I have been so blind? There's three reasons. Number one, I get into the presence of God. Number two, I understand the patience of God. And number three, I understand the power of God. God can take care of the world. Don't you worry about going out there and take care of that. Well, those folks out there, they've been doing me wrong. Hey, that's all right. That's all right. Just come into the presence of God like we did this morning.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Whew, I don't know about y'all, but I feel like I was in liquid love this morning. Whoa!
Amen. Bless him, Lord. Yes, sir.
And then I realized that I serve an eternal God.
Yep.
And there will be a payday someday. And thirdly, I know He has the power to take care of things. So when they kind of look at me and snuff up, I'm like, that's all right. It ain't me you got the problem with, big boy. It ain't me you got the problem with. It's Him. And He's got time and He's got the talent to take care of it. And all of a sudden I look at myself when I start looking at them and I think, how could I have been so blind? As a thing like that. Look on with me. Verse 21, look what it says. Thus my heart was grieved. Psalm 73. He said, my heart was grieved. I got contaminated. I let the world contaminate the goodness that God has put in my heart. I let that get in. And I was grieved. And I was pricked in my reins, and not only was I grieved and contaminated, but I was convicted. It's hard, Paul, for you to kick against the pricks. God said, boy, y'all not be looking at them. Y'all not get into that. You ever had God do that before? You ever looked at something y'all shot at and you begin to want something that you didn't, then God realized you realize that, wait a minute, I'm in the presence of God. Wait a minute. I know that God's got patience. Wait a minute. I know God's got power. And all of a sudden, I mean, not only did it grieve you that you did it, but God begins to prick you and say, hey, son, you know that ain't for you. Aren't you glad God still does that?
Amen.
I'm glad God don't let me slide off the cliff. He said, my feet were well nigh slipped. Aren't you glad that God said, puts you back here, puts that old rope of grace around your hip and pulls you back in. Woo! Y'all still with me? Look at verse 22. So foolish was I and ignorant. Well, a lot of us wouldn't call ourselves that, would it? But God, he did. God said, this is so normal that I'm put it in a song. And they sung this. So foolish was I and ignorant. Yeah. Y'all laugh, but that's how they sung. So foolish was I and ignorant that what? I was as a beast before thee. I was as a beast before thee. That word beast there is the word behemoth, and it means hippopotamus. It's like I was a big, dumb hippopotamus. I just felt that way. You know what he's saying? Yep. He said, number one, how could I be so blind to not remember who God is? Yep. And how could I be so dumb to act the way I've acted? Yep. You know, a lot of us, when we're preaching, when preacher's preaching, and God moves in our heart, we get our conviction of how we've acted and what we've thought about. We run down the altar and we're crying. You know what we're really saying? God, I've been like a big fat hippopotamus. I've looked at things I shouldn't have done. I've wallowed in mud. I thought that was a good way to go. That's not where I belong. How could I have been so blind, and how could I have been so dumb? Now, don't get mad at me. That's what it says.
Amen.
How could I have acted like that? Because you let those blinders start to come up. And we see life only as the man can see it. So number one, we see a reverence towards God. It gets reestablished. That's what God does with it. He works on us, and he gets that reverence right. Where we say, you know what? I can't believe I was that blind. I understand now. And I can't believe I was that dumb. But it's okay, God. I know. I reverence you. I know who you are. I know that you can wait. I know you can take care of those. And I know you can take care of me. And then he says in verse number 16 of Malachi, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. Psalm 73:1, if you look back there, I'm not going to apologize anymore. I love this book. Notice what it says in verse 1. It says, truly God is good to Israel, even to such are of a clean heart. Now, this psalm is written, and it goes down and tells the problem he got in. Now, he's got it right now. He's got it right. So he starts off saying, man, I'm telling you, God is good to Israel. God is good to Israel, even to such are clean heart. And it's written in a song. And every time they start that song, God is good to Israel. You know, and they sing that song. And they have public worship and say, man, you can't just, God, you know, we sing that song, God's been good in my, and we go, run the altar. Amen. I mean, it moves hearts. You can't talk about the goodness of God and not get your heart moved. And he says, God's good. God's been good to Israel. But then look all the way down, that's the public. Look at verse number 28 of the same book. That's the beginning. Look at the end. In verse 28, he says this, but it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all thy works. Then he says, not only have I put in a song and said it's good, God's been good to Israel, but it's good for me too. And if I get it good for me right, then I want to tell everybody about it. Amen. Isn't this the best commentary in the Bible, the best commentary on self? What is he saying? Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. They said, Brother Bill, God was good to pass by me 35 years ago and save me on that Wednesday night. Well, nobody, God's been good to me.
Yes, sir.
God's been good to me this week. God was good to me this morning. God was good to me this morning. I didn't deserve that this morning. But I was glad I was here when it happened.
Amen.
And I didn't do nothing.
Amen. Yes, sir.
I didn't do nothing. I didn't do nothing. I just got to be here, brother. Ain't God been good to you?
Yes, sir.
Are you saved?
Amen.
Stand up with me for a minute.
Okay.
Are you saved?
Yes, sir.
Aren't you glad
Amen.
That God would pass by your way? Isn't that good, Brother Freddie? Ask me if I'm saved.
You're saved?
Oh, I'm saved, Brother Freddie. It's been so good being saved. Boy, I can just start talking to you about it before it knows. Our hearts start running over and we want to talk about it. Hey, man, just want to share about it. I mean, when you first got saved, you know what you did? We took me on a fishing trip. Brother Freddie said, I said, ride with me. He drove me. And, you know, and I'm speaking Southern. He's speaking good English compared to my Southern. And we're going that road. And he's giving me a Bible commentary. He would just feed me. He was so full to share with me what he learned. And the thing about it, I got down there. And I thought, I said, amen, he ain't said nothing wrong. Isn't it amazing the Holy Spirit would do that to you? Do that to you? Do that to you? Isn't that good? Isn't that good? Hey, hey, you begin to talk to each other and tell each other how good God's been. Super Bowl, Smoocher Bowl. I like football. I like it. I may say, ooh, run. But I tell you one thing, my heart has never turned over like it did this morning when those got saved. Never turned over like you got to give your testimony. I ain't never seen somebody as young get saved and have such a testimony as you had this morning. I went, I told my wife, I said, God might be raising another Miss Bill in our church.
Hey.
That is a compliment, young lady.
Yes, it is.
That is a compliment. You just stick it. You stick with it. Hey. Got me. Some of y'all are starting to get what I'm talking about now. Hey, the saints' blessed view is this. We have a reverence towards who's God is, who God is. And we have a rehearsal about who God is. We begin to talk about it. So we have the sin-blinded view, and then we have the saints' blessed view in this chapter. But I want to take you to the somewhere beyond the blue view. Look at verse 16. Got your Bible? I'm about done. And the Lord hearkened and heard it. That's what happened this morning. And the Lord hearkened and heard it. People get tender-hearted toward God. God has a tendency of showing up. You say, oh, I don't know about that. Well, let me tell you something. Natalie goes out to this day. She's 17 years old, but she goes outside and the bee stings her. All she got to do is cry. Me and Mama both drop dishes, quit studying, tear out the house, see what's going on, make sure Natalie's all right. Now, if me being an old carnal sinner saved by the grace of God would do that, how much more would the great God of heaven move towards us when we begin to weep? Hey, not only does his sheep hear his voice, he hears theirs. I know my sheep. And the Lord hearkened and heard it. Look at verse 16. And I'm about done. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and thought about his name. And Brother Freeman, I have thought about that. Wait a minute. Hold it a minute. I'll give it to you in a minute. Go back to Psalm 73. I'm going to close with this last thought. Turn back to Psalm 73. I don't want to give you this to end. Psalm 73, verse 23. Nevertheless, I am contending with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. We see God's presence. Verse 24. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. We see God's protection. Verse 25. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. We see God's person. Look at verse 26. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. We see God's perseverance. Look at verse 27. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go whoring from thee. We see God's position. God doesn't change his position. And listen, church, listen to me. If God don't change his position, neither should we. Neither should we. Whatever God said that we got, keep it. Keep it. Keep it. Amen? Now here's what I want to close with. Malachi, turn back over to Malachi, and I'm done. I promise you, I'm done. Malachi, chapter number 3, I'm done. Look at verse number 16 again. I want to read the entire verse to you. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. I got one question for you. I got to get a seat for this one. This is a good one. I ain't wrote this in my notes. This one's fresh. All right, this will come right now. I got to sit down with you. Let's all get equal here, right? Fireside chat. Why does God need a book of remembrance? Does God forget? It's so when we get there, he can tell us about what he was doing all those times we didn't understand. He can say, you know that day you thought you was all alone? Turn to page 43,226. I was there. I wrote it down just so I could call it back to remembrance today. Ain't it good to be to heaven today? Remember that day you was in that valley and you didn't think you'd get out of it? Turn to 3,496,432,000, page 1, section 4. Remember that valley you was in? Remember what I told you? I am the lily of the valley. I was there with you. I just want you to know, ain't it good to be to heaven? Ain't it good to be in heaven? Ain't it good to be in heaven? Amen. Hey, remember that day when you got saved? I was there. Remember that day when you did something first time in the ministry and you didn't think you could do it, but you did it anyway, and you feel like you stumbled and the devil made fun of you? I was there. I wrote all that down. That's on page 36,222, and I got another one for you. Amen. Hey, remember when you was getting ready to cross over Jordan? I was there. And now guess what? You're here. You want to read about it? Let's sit down. God don't have to write a remembrance because he can't remember. He writes a book of remembrance so we will remember.
Amen. That's it. Amen.
And then say, I hearken. I heard you. And I hearken. Just like he did this morning. Just like he's doing now. Don't you get the wrong view. Victories. In the view. Victories in the view. I give you my heart tonight, and I believe without a shadow of doubt that's what our church needs tonight. I don't have an altar call. Some of you are still burdened. It's okay. It's okay to be burdened. Don't get burdened. Something's wrong with us. There ain't no burden. Something's wrong with us. We ain't doing something. We ain't caring about somebody or something's wrong with us when there ain't no burdens. Why don't you just come down to the Lord and say, Lord, can you write this one down tonight? Can you remind me that you remember? Will you help me? Let's all stand tonight. Victories in the view. Piano player, come play. One piano player, come play. If you need to come tonight, won't you come on? Just step out and come on. Don't go home no burden tonight. Don't go home with the wrong view. Don't act like God's not working, God's not here, God's not listening. A book of remembrance was written. Not so he could remember. So he could show us when we get over there. Remember that day? Remember that day? Remember that day? Remember that day? Remember that hour? Remember that day? Remember there at that hospital and you thought you'd never, you didn't think ever sunlight ever come again. I wrote that down. Hey, I wrote that down. Remember that day you wondered how things work out? I wrote that down. The Bible says even our prayers, he catches in a bottle. The prayers of the saints. Writes down the times. Holds the prayers. I'm going to break the bottle open one of these days. And the book should be open. He's going to show us some things. Whether we understand or not, we're living in victory. We're living in victory. Hey, young people, those that got saved lately, I want to tell you this, there'll be a lot of temptation out there. There'll be a lot of temptation. We all know that. There's a lot of temptation. There's temptation at 40s. There's temptation in the teens. There's temptation in the 20s. They change. But it still affect the flesh. We're not careful. We'll let the world put blinders on us and say, this is how you're supposed to act. This is what's supposed to make you happy. This is what's supposed to make you joy. And the devil will try to steal what's ours. Have the freshness of God on our life. And make us actually forget that God writes down everything. The judge stands at the door. He's working all the time. Don't ever forget it. Ain't nobody ever loved you like Jesus. Nobody ever loved me like Jesus. If you need to come tonight, why don't you come on? There's those already here tonight. Victory's in the view. Victory's in the view. Victory's in the view. By the way, victory's not in the rear view. I'm still looking what God's going to do, not just what he has done. How about you? How about you? All our joys are not behind us. God proved that this morning. Oh, the devil like to try to tell us that you can't have an old-fashioned church. Can't use the right Bible. Can't pray anymore. Saint can't seek God's face. Can't have a good Sunday school. Y'all too small to have choir. That's what the devil tried to tell you. A lot of times we just got our view all messed up. We need to get to where we can get to the point where we say, God, how could I have been so blind? God, how could I have been so dumb? I think I'll just go talk about you. Can I share with something I said to Miss Biddle? I'm going home. Miss Biddle said something to me one time I was talking to her. She said this. She said, I have decided. She said, I went through a real trial in my life one time. And the devil kept fighting me on it. And she said, I took my Bible and I went down to the altar. And I showed it to the devil. Now this is what Miss Biddle said. She said, I laid it down on the altar. And I read that scripture that gave me the victory. And I said, look, devil, I believe it. I'm going to go shout about it. You read it. She said, if you want to argue anymore, you argue God, I'm going to shout about it. You know what she said? She said, I got off that altar. Here's where her famous quote said. I'm going to enjoy the trip.
Amen.
And she got it when she got up off that altar and said, devil, you read it. I've already believed it. I'm going to go live it now. Tell you what will make folks want to come home. Listen to me. It's not us going around like this. I'm at church. It's taking that burden heart. Going to the Lord and saying, I'm at church. God's been good. And I love him. Here, devil. You read it a while. I'm going to go shout about it. And then they'll say, what's going on over there? Won't look so green over Septank anyway. It start looking green over the home plains. Here am I, about to eat pig slop. How many hired servants in my father's house have plenty to eat and to spare? Believe I'll go home.
Yeah.
What if the father went, oh son, I'll just come down and live with you. No. I want to give somebody a place to come home to. Amen. Hey! I want to give them a place to come home to. Hey! I want to give them a place to come home to.
Amen.
Now listen to what I'm saying. victories already settled. But it's our view what keeps our heart right. Brother Ty, dismiss.